Let's see. Corn. No, lower. Beans. lower too. Doggone it. Wheat. Wheat was higher, but wheat is, well, wheat. Hogs are lower. And cattle. Hey. Fed and feeder cattle futures are higher. Let's talk about cattle today.
Live from the backside of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Scott Varlick from Coy McCoy of Varlick. And right after the news from BubbaTrading.com, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Let's see, I'm checking my texts here, looking to see if I got a post. Post-Fed decision text from Bubba, and no, I don't. I got a feeling he was just as disgusted by the Fed's inaction as he has been in the past and just decided not to send a text out about it.
So he may have been so furious.
We'll get his take on it.
Yeah, he just chucked his phone right out the 137th floor, you know, right out of under the streets of Chicago, baby.
That's right.
We don't know.
That's right.
I hope he's okay. Yeah. I just hope he's all right.
Right. Oh, I'm sure he is. He's on the line waiting to get on here. So we'll have a great conversation with Bubba here in just a couple of minutes. Scott Varlick, Coima Varlick up in Sioux Center, is keeping tabs of the NCBA meeting out in Denver. There's a face-to-face meeting going on out there in Denver. They're voting on some policy. They're discussing some policy, and we're going to get an update on the information that is flowing back from that meeting. The 50-14 proposal has been discussed. They're now listening to some other proposals that I assume are all intended to bring some additional transparency to the cash market. But we will find out in the conversation with Scott coming up here in just a little bit. Okay, go ahead. Right. What was moving the markets?
Well, Chip, wheat continued its give-and-take price pattern following 2 days of solid losses with a round of solid gains. Profit-taking, positioning, money flow, long liquidation, all part of the day-to-day price action in the wheat market that has developed into a fairly wide trading range in front-month SRW futures between 515 and 550. While Egypt did not purchase any U.S. wheat in its latest tender, it did purchase 470,000 metric tons of Russian and Ukrainian supplies. That's the biggest purchase by Egypt since October 2018, Chip. Traders took that as a signal of increased global wheat demand. September hard red winter wheat, 9 cents higher, 445 and three quarters. September soft red jumped 9 1/4 to 532 and three quarters. September spring wheat, 4 3/4 lower, 511 even. Takes double-digit gains to trigger the music, Chip.
Well, yeah, I would hope. But I tell you, wheat does not stroll anywhere right now. It leaps. Yes. It leaps one direction or the other. We talked about it on Monday with Jack Scoville. Yeah. It's a function of a lack of volume. It's a function of a lack of direction. It's a function of no dominant trend. And now we've got this wide range in the front month contract. I just anticipate that it's going to continue here for a while.
Ethanol production in the weekend of July 24 averaged 958,000 barrels per day, up 50,000 barrels from last week. In fact, that increase makes last week's production setback look like a bad tick on a price screen as it resumes a solid uptrend from the low posted the last week of April. Ethanol stocks did increase for the first week since April 17, jumping 471,000 barrels to a still manageable 20.272 million barrels. September corn futures 4.5 cents lower, 315.5. December corn dropped 3 3/4 cents to 326 1/4. March corn closed to 338 1/4, down 3 cents on the day, Chip.
Feels like ethanol is getting the new supply balanced with the existing stocks and trying to make sure that we're getting back as close to pre-COVID conditions as we possibly can. That's what it feels like is happening to me.
Generally good crop conditions and a weather forecast calling for generally stress-free conditions in most areas of the Corn Belt got the blame for today's lower soybean prices. Also, there were no new export sales announced this morning, which failed to provide buyers with incentive to be active in the market today. August bean futures were 5 1/4 cents lower, 891.5. September beans slipped 3 1/4, 884.5. Novi bean futures 885 1/4. down 2.25 cents. Man, traders got spoiled there by all those daily sales. What was that, last week and the week before?
Yeah, 10 days in a row leading up to Monday. So yesterday was the first day that we didn't have one. Listen, if you want a good crop report from southeast Minnesota, eastern Nebraska, very different growing conditions. Not a huge amount of distance between those two areas, but very different growing conditions. You got to listen to the second half of this morning's show. Listen to the whole thing as far as that goes. But listen to the second half of this morning's show, the Farmer Forum, Brad from Minnesota, Tim from Nebraska. Those guys did a great job of summing up the crop conditions.
October cotton was 44 ticks higher, 51.03. December cotton gained a half cent, 61.61. On the livestock side, indications that box beef prices are finding support near current prices helped live cattle futures grab onto the momentum generated by yesterday's high range close. August live cattle futures 55 cents higher, 101.45. December cattle up 107.5 to close at 109.95. And August feeders $1.27.5 higher, 141.97.5. And on the snout side, sellers latched onto the momentum generated by yesterday's low-range close and lean hog futures to drive prices lower. August hogs were 112.5 lower, 53.07.5. Dees off 77.5 cents, 51.02.5. Chip.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, what do you make of the inaction of the Fed?
I thought you were going to bring in Chair Powell to talk to me. I mean, it's the same old crap. I mean, let's face it. They're just trying to keep, you know, they're trying to get the digital currency. That's what they're really trying to do. So now just keep the free money flowing, keep the money flowing into the stock market. There's no volume anywhere else. There's not even volume in the stock market, but there's no volume anywhere else. So as long as they keep interest as cheap, guess what happens? All the big timers get all the dough. They get to borrow it all. They get to use it all. They continue to force these markets higher. And, of course, we all know the end result of this eventually will be. But again, until then, enjoy the
move. Well, spell it out. What do you think the end result is?
Well, I think the end result, they get clobbered eventually. Again, they always do. This time is not different, right? Right now we're watching equities go to Pluto. We're letting gold go to Pluto, and the grains are going the other way. Okay. Now, again, eventually that'll reverse out, and we'll see the reverse action. But right now, the money goes to where it thinks it's going to be treated best. And right now, the way the equities go up every single day and the way they try to make new highs all the time, you're going to see it continue to go there. And naturally, the people will chase it up as far as they can. And eventually, the buyers will be gone. And then, of course, the sellers will show up and start to lay them away. And we'll have a major sell-off, and everybody will panic out again. And then, of course, at the end of time, the markets go up 8.5% year over year. That's just the way it is. And it's that simple, but they don't go up 8% a day.
Right. Right. Yeah, the recovery from the COVID low has been nothing short of spectacular in here, and you just wonder how much longer it can last. You're exactly right. I mean, I'm not going to bring Paul Volcker up or anything like that in describing what's going on in this market, but it's pretty impressive.
Well, it is. This is going to create inflation. We know that's coming on the curve. I mean, we already have it, but they won't admit to it. But at the end of the day, it's going to create problems, and we'll see. But, of course, the banks are allowed to lend money without any restriction or any values now. So what do we think is going to happen? Have we seen this movie before? Of course we have. And it's always the same ending, ugly. But until then, enjoy the ride.
Absolutely, Todd. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. We're talking cattle next. Scott Varlick.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
America's conservation ag movement would like to recognize Valent for its efforts in contributing to healthier, more resilient production agriculture systems. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. Got Davis with me.
Hey-o.
And we are going to be talking cattle today with Scott Varlick from Coima Coima Varlick up in Sioux Center, Iowa. He joins us right now. Scott, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. You guys?
You bet, man. We're doing good. How'd calving season go?
It was good. Yep, another good year. Winter was not so bad on us, so we calve early enough. Or the ground is still frozen, but you got to have the facilities for that. But I'd rather fight the cold than the wet mud. That's tough. But all in all, it was pretty good, and the pastures are amazing right now. Yeah. Moisture upon moisture out there in South Dakota. Yeah. So looks good.
Good, 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 good. When's the production sale?
We have that third Saturday in February every year, selling all of our yearlings and two-year-olds. So got a little time there yet, but we'll be weaning them here real quick-like. So,
man, I want to get up there and see what you got up there sometime. I'd love to see that.
So. You're welcome anytime.
All right, buddy. Good. I'll hold you to that. Hey, before we get to some of the issues that are going on, yesterday we managed to – you know, we opened lower, we bounced back from those session lows, had at least a mid-range close, had a little bit of momentum going into yesterday. We got some follow-through buying in the market today. What are you making of the price action that you're seeing in live cattle?
Yeah, we've got, you get a key reversal lower, makes everybody kind of hold your breath just a little bit. And, you know, it opened up sharply higher Monday after a couple of cattle on feed reports that were fairly neutral, not going to move the market a whole lot. But there was quite a few shorts, I think, that got a little bit trapped and decided to puke out and exit, and you get a little bit trapped up there. And then when it starts to slowly drift all day, then it's kind of a, oh, no, what did I do moment. Yeah. So you have some of that. And we've got an open interest level that's pretty small yet. I think any time we're below 300,000 contracts of open interest in live cattle, We get swings like this where there's a key reversal lower that doesn't follow through, kind of grind back higher, able to fight out of it. It's easier to make some of those moves with the light volume there, and it might not be the real action of the market. I mean, still, trend is your friend. Funds are a little long, and feeders are the leaders. They're kind of helping lead the charge out of this a little bit here.
I was going to get to that. Why? Why is that happening now?
And it kind of happens a lot, July, August time frame, where you've got some empty yards around and you've got some guys that are beat up and need to get back in, and they want to get some feeders bought back that maybe are at a lower price, since we're at lower prices, and they always tend to push that line this month. I have to answer that question every day. How come the feeders are so high? I can't get them to even close to work, It's just the nature of the beast. Everybody kind of wants to get back in here when we're in summer low time frame. So I think they kind of turn to the board a little bit and kind of start buying there. They see what the cash prices are doing, and they're holding together pretty well, I'll say. I guess if you run a break even on them, you'll see that they're getting a pretty good premium there. So they just kind of continue to charge higher as guys look to try to fill some of these yards. There's plenty of empty yards around, I think, and in some pretty big areas, and that can be normal this time of year. But guys are just looking to get back in. They need to get back in because, I think I said it last time I was on. You lose your wallet in the feed yard, you want to go back in the feed yard to look for it. So I mean, that's kind of where we sit. We're all pretty beat up and need to get something that works.
Right, right. Okay. So take all this to the cash fat cattle market. And relate what's going on in futures to what's going on in the cash. Is there any what I'm hoping to hear you, and I don't know if you're going to say it or not, Scott, but what I'm hoping to hear you say is that futures are starting to take some direction from cash.
Cash is slowly creeping. I mean, the futures have been outpacing the cash a little bit. The cash has been a little bit sluggish, to say the least. I think it took us 3 or 4 weeks just to get from 95 in the south to 97 in the south. So that's how long it took us just to put on a couple of dollars. But that being said, with the big backlog, I guess, that we had with all of the plants shut down earlier this spring, backing us up, we had a lot of cleaning up to do. And I think the North fared fairly well You know, I mean, maybe, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, a month behind pace on some, but it was a struggle for a while. You just took whatever bid you could get. But I think the North kind of got out of it. In the South, it was still left, you know, to clean up yet. There were still quite a few cattle from the South coming up. I know Dakota City, Greater Omaha, and all of them, they're killing a lot of cattle that are coming out of the South. And this week, hey, Texas show lists are lower significantly, and Kansas is down a little bit, and Nebraska was up a little bit. But at least we're starting to see those show lists decrease a little bit to make me start to feel like we're getting there. You know, maybe we can start to actually ask for a price a little bit rather than, you know, they don't give you a price very often, and you have to take it when you get it.
Yeah. That's exactly where I would love for us all to be, where we can do a little negotiation on the price there. So where do we stand on the backlog of the animals?
I think we're going to have a little bit of help coming with us as we get some Labor Day buying coming up in the next few weeks. So I'm feeling a little bit better. You know, suddenly you hear a story today of somebody sold some cattle Monday and we'll put them in their back pocket. And suddenly they want them tomorrow already. And that's not something that's been, you know, happening very often yet. So good to see those kind of trends into the market. I think it's given me a little bit of hope. And we need the cash to rally. Otherwise, we're going to be turning in a couple weeks looking at that August board, and there could be deliveries on the board. But I'm trying to say I think the futures are telling us this cash is going to continue to move a little bit higher, you know, and I think most of the bad news is behind us, so I really do think we're still at a low enough price to where it's got plenty of room to the upside yet.
Okay. I'll admit I haven't even looked. I've been a little afraid to look. What's going on with the weights?
Weights have just maintained the we're not current status. You know, we had been 50 pounds over a year ago for a while, and then 45, and we're looking at about, you know, the mid-30s over a year ago right now, and we can trend that way anyway year over year, but not that much. I mean, it's been a big number. It's two-week-old data, so we're not going to, you know, we're always going to be 2 weeks behind on those weights where we're actually at. That's actually one proposal that's been brought up that we would like to see those immediately since we see, you know, the weighted on the hogs. So something to take note of there. But I think we're going to start getting it back in line fairly soon, I think.
Are those, you know, it seems like this the feeders decide, you know, from time to time that we're going to see an increase in weights because the animal can carry the weight. Oh, look what we discovered when we put more choice beef into the market. Things happen along the way to change how much weight we're going to be putting on those animals. Do you think that might be here to stay because at-home consumers are looking and tasting choice beef?
Absolutely. Makes sense. You know, it really does. I mean, there has been an extreme demand on the choice products and people wanting more quality once they get a taste of it, like you
said. Damn right.
And they've already said the next big thing is prime. You know, people are wanting prime. So it's been that way, and it continues to be that way. And, yeah, that helps get more cattle in that category by putting the extra weight on. So I think that's going to maintain. I definitely think that the incentive for quality is going to stay there.
It used to be that I would be willing to pay for prime 2-3 times a year. 2-3 times a year is a given now, okay? And prime is becoming more and more something that I'm looking for. And it's not just because of my taste profile. It's because we've seen the price spread between choice and prime narrow up, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be part of it, that it's narrowed up. But you've had an economy that's been in excellent shape for several years here. So guys, people have a little bit extra to spend. And like you said, once you taste it, you think, wow, you know, people don't understand that some of this other stuff they buy might not even be from the U.S. It might be from somewhere else, and they have a bad experience. And they're starting to find out, hey, I can have a good experience here. There is some really good quality beef out there, and I think they're starting to find that out.
Well, and, you know, I think over time the consumer, and over the last 3 months, the consumer has taken it upon themselves to better educate themselves of what that uncooked steak looks like that's going to give them the experience they want. And because of that education, I think that weight on these animals, I think you're right, Scott. I think it's here to stay. I think it's going to continue for a while. Okay, we've still got a lot to talk about with Scott Varlick, Coima Varlick up in Sioux Center. Transparency, we're going to get there in the next segment. It's time for Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. ANEC reins in Brazilian soybean and corn export forecast, but the consultancy still is looking for an increase from what was shipped in July of 2019. Rabobank, the latest to call for record-setting Brazilian soybean plantings in 2020-21. Updates on COVID-19 disruptions at Argentine port facilities. Drought-breaking rains revitalize Australia's ag sector. Get this, the breaking of Australia's three-year drought prompted wheat producers to hike plantings of wheat and other crops. The stimulus talks slow down. Hong Kong's coronavirus-ravaged economy shrinks by 9% in the second quarter, and Biden is expected to name his running mate next week. Check out all that Pro Farmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Studio audience loves that sentiment.
Yeah. I think Big Apple might have stayed on the coffee all day today.
He might have. He might have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be gawk to that.
All right. We're talking to Scott Varlick, Coima Varlick. And before we get back to that, Davis, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip September hard red winter wheat 9 cents higher today at 4.45¾. September SRW jumped 9¼ to 5.32¾. September corn futures 4.5 cents lower, 3.15½. Dece corn off 3¾ cents to 3.26¼. August soybean futures 5¼ cents lower, 8.91½. September beans slipped 3¼ to 8.84½. October cotton 44 ticks higher, 51.03. August live cattle futures were 55 cents higher, 101.45. August feeders $1.27½ higher, 141.97½. And August hogs $1.12½ lower, 53.07½. That is your quick market recap. Hey, let's get back to it. What do you say?
Sounds good to me. All right. Thanks, Davis. Scott Varlick, Coima Varlick is our guest today, and that means that we're talking about what's going on in the cattle market. Scott, I want to continue on a little bit on this discussion that we were having about the demand and maybe some of the changing demand that we're looking at and how it could change the animal coming out of the feedlot, because we're moving a lot of beef right now, aren't we?
Correct. Huge week last week, and I like what I hear. You know, the beef news sounds good. You know, it was reported record exports last week, so we knew that the cold storage report showed that there was quite a bit of beef in storage here, the last one we had, and has to be frozen to ship it. So we found a good home for a bunch of that. So seems to, you know, be perking up a little bit. It had its wavering when we couldn't keep the plants going and we couldn't keep everybody filled, because just 2 weeks ago I have a caterer that I'm trying to cater an event, and I can't order beef through it because it's on backlog, and it just makes you just want to... Yeah, you just shake your head. But yeah. I think we're starting to get that problem fixed a little bit. We're starting to get it moved along. There's $300 a head in it for the packers. Plenty of incentive for them to want to continue to run after it. So really like what I hear. And last week was a testament of it. Big sales there. And then you can even look at kill bulls and slaughter cows. Those prices are pretty high. You can get more for a 2,000-pound slaughter bull than you can for a real nice fat steer. So they're looking for some meat in a lot of different places. A
lot of different ways. Yeah, yeah. The cattle inventory report, not the cattle on feed report, the inventory report that came out last Friday, was there anything in there that caught your attention and made you think, geez, this beef cow herd is trending in one direction or something like that?
I was expecting more trending in one direction. The beef cows for heifer replacement, I actually thought that would be a little bit lower. So say that I was just slightly disappointed to see that, but because we've been, you know, heifer slaughter has been on the increase over the last couple of years, and we've been decreasing that cow herd. And I think, as we said, at these price levels that are not very appealing, we need to pay some extra bills. So selling a few extra of those heifers every year when they go through the sale barn to, you know, to kind of keep the cash flow going, and maybe that's going to show up later. It still could yet, but that's kind of the way I was leaning. I thought maybe there would be a smaller number of beef heifers kept for replacement. Mm-hmm. So that one disappointed me a little bit, I guess. It was larger than I expected.
Okay. All right. I want to backtrack a little ways before we get into what you're thinking about for some protection, some risk management in here and everything. Because when you were talking about the open interest that is in live cattle futures right now, it seems contrary to then consider what the CME is considering with its daily trading limits, doesn't it?
A little bit. They want to open up the limits, you know, and increase them a little bit. And I can see why the funds do not like the limit moves. And we've had two black swan events here, Holcomb Fire and COVID-19, to really create some limit moves. And then when you go back to 2014 to 2015, we were on the way down. We had several limits on the way down because we did not have the ability to expand the limits at all, and people got stuck. So they want to fix that a little bit, and it's, you know, dangerous. They're very aware of the hedgers don't want wide open limits because we wouldn't be able to keep up. You know, right. If you're going to go out work cattle and you realize prices have moved as much as they have, you might be a little shocked. They're fully aware of that, and they hear us there. But we need to get the funds back into the market, and that's one way that I see they're trying to appeal to them to say, well, let's raise these limits a little bit, because it gets tougher to trade the cattle futures when we have a low open interest number. Just throwing in 20 lots at the market today versus what it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago is a lot different. It changed that quickly to where now you're having to work a little bit at filling some of these orders, so it's a little bit more of a struggle. So whatever we can do to get some more players back in there, I think we're going to be open-minded to changes in that category.
So it's a liquidity issue is what it is.
Yeah, it seems to be a little bit for me, the liquidity and just the lack of the market wanting to rally. The speculative longs are just nowhere to be found, and you need those spec longs to try to move things back higher again. And here we sit at 12-year lows and looking for somebody to take us on and jump in. So,
right. Interesting. Okay. So risk protection. Do you feel an urgency to get anything done right now?
Well, like I said earlier, I think we got a good couple weeks here. It's going to be some Labor Day buying. We're kind of feeding into the beef demand here, the little news that we've heard there. So my bottom line is we've taken several hits, and coming off of $300 a head hits, $250 a head hits, I'm not going to be looking to lock in this first $100 a head I can get. If I take a $300 a head loss and then I lock in the $100 a head profit as soon as I get it, I have to do that three times just to get back to where I was on this last group, and that's going to be tough. So at the price level we're at, I want to find something to make sure that I've got some topside open here. Don't want to get caught too hard, you know, with hedges at levels that aren't really that appealing. And then I think, you know, as we've slowly rallied out of here, and it hasn't been too volatile other than the Monday key reversal, some of these options are starting to bleed down a little bit. There's some different ideas. You know, you can look at some puts now. Haven't been able to do that before, but as you get a little bit of money in them, maybe that's something you look at. But just trying to look for that opportunity. And as long as, okay, you know, the old economy stays together and we don't have, yep, any major hiccups, and, you know, I think there's some pretty good chances for us ahead, and got to be there to capitalize on it. We need some healing.
Okay, very good, very good. What's coming out of Denver today?
It's been quite quite the meeting so far, I think, is from what it sounds. A lot of posturing going on at the NCBA, trying to decide they're going to vote on the 50-14 cash negotiation bill. So it's been battles within states, between organizations. It's been heated and been, you know, almost historical to be a part of the amount of attention this has gotten and what it means to the market. But we know we have a problem with a negotiated cash trade on the break, and what are we going to tie these markets to? And nobody's had a real fix, and this is an opportunity to do that. So I know that they were started the meeting, I guess, meeting on this at about 11 o'clock, and here about an hour ago, they put it on postponement. They postponed it so they could hear another policy first. That was drafted by some gentlemen in the southern region. So that's where they're hearing right now. It just sounds like there's a lot of posturing going on, and you'd love to be a fly on the wall in that room.
Yeah.
I imagine it's getting pretty heated. But
I wonder how much the report on the investigation into the cash cattle box beef market, how much that's being tossed around.
You know, I don't know that a lot of that's getting tossed around. I don't think anybody's getting a lot of good information on it. You know, it's just,
right,
we've got the USDA, you know, right up from it here. You know, findings thus far do not prelude the possibility, you know, that those groups, there wasn't any findings, I guess, is what they said. And the investigation is still going on. They're just reporting,
right,
their data, but when you read through those numbers and you see how high the boxed beef went and how low the cattle went, you just really, you know, you're frustrated. We're all frustrated as an industry, as beat up as we are, and most industries got pretty beat up right now too. So hoping that they would find something. Is it going to be a grand fix if they do find anything? No, probably not, but we would like to try to solidify some better, you know, opportunities for us for the future, try to gain some leverage back. I think 50-14 would help get a lot of leverage back. Absolutely. Something I stand on and think would be a great thing. So hopefully that can happen and we can rally through and try to get some of that back when we're, you know, 80% of the cattle are slaughtered with four packers. It gets tough to try to gain any of that leverage
we've talked about it several times today. How do we get some negotiation going? How does feed yard get some leverage? And I get where that's coming from, and I think you understand.
I think you understand that
there's concern about regulating anything in the cash cattle market, that once you do that, it's tough to go backwards on it. So anyway, Scott, as more and more of this comes out of that meeting and we find out more, we'll get back together here in the near future and discuss it some more. Thank you, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Scott Varlick, Coima Varlick. Davis and I will be back. Wrap things up.
AgriTalk is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, a national partnership to help farmers scale conservation for their businesses, the environment, and their communities. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Chip, I got to send a shout out.
Please do.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
I got to say a special thanks to my friend, Farmer Chad. I don't know if he listens or not. I've encouraged him to listen before.
You bounce fertilizer ideas off him, don't you?
On occasion, yes, I do. He's doing it right. He's got something figured out. He's one of these farmers that's got it figured out. Doesn't farm a ton of land, but he's doing it himself, and God bless him. We went to school together. Farmer Chad delivered a bag of sweet corn to my door this forenoon. And
nice.
Not only that, but my man went the extra mile and shucked it himself.
No!
Pre-shucked by an Iowa farm boy, delivered. I don't know where in the world you can get that except for right here in Northeast Iowa, baby. And
wow,
supper time can't come fast enough. You know what I mean?
Did he churn some butter and include that as well?
Well, I assume he's got the wife doing that. That doesn't seem like the kind of thing he would have time for.
Oh, wow.
People are throwing plates at the radios right now.
Not all people. Not all people, but there's maybe half of the listeners are. Wow. Okay. All right. You know, if you did have a little home churned butter to go along with that, I'm just suggesting.
Are you offering? Are you suggesting or offering?
No! Are you kidding me?
Because you're probably too busy to churn butter too, aren't you?
I am. Yes. Uh-huh. And you know what? That's what the processors are for, as far as I'm concerned. find your favorite butter and stick with that with your sweet corn. But if you can get that sweet corn provider to... Yeah, to get you the shuck corn. Hey, you know what? Speaking of sweet corn, guys, a guy that I've gotten sweet corn from before, I said it this morning on the show. I'm going to say it again right now. Shout out to Ted Hamer at Ted Hamer 1. Good luck tomorrow, buddy. I want all the listeners to be thinking about Ted tomorrow. And I'm sure that he wouldn't want us to get into the details. But if it's in ya, go ahead and say a prayer for some steady hands and a quick recovery for Ted there. So
I'll say a prayer for Ted for sure. Absolutely. Good friend of the show.
That he is. Okay. Farm Journal Field Days. We should mention that again. And the reason that I'm going to mention that is because I've been tasked with the idea of extending an invitation to everybody to take part in the evening meetings of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour this year. And it's the first time that we've been able to do that, Davis. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, to me, I'm taking the responsibility extremely. I'm taking that responsibility very seriously.
Well, and here's the thing. It's such darn valuable information. You guys out there, and I haven't been on the road on the crop tour, but as I understand it, you guys absolutely pack these places at these evening meetings. Once farmers get a taste of it, they can't get enough. They're back next year. They're back the year after that. These places fill up in a hurry, and you know, you don't offer a worthless product and have you know, the place packed. People are getting something out of this that's absolutely worthwhile, and this opens it up to everyone. And not only that, it's not just in the local area where you're at. You can catch all of them. You can catch all of them throughout the week this way.
That's the big difference. That's the big difference. In the past, it's been reach out to the growers around the Grand Island area and say,
locals,
hey, Grand Island, turn out. We'd love to see you again. Nebraska City. Nebraska City on the western leg of the tour has never been an issue filling up the facilities to the capacity. Okay? Up to Spencer, Iowa. Again, great facilities there at the Clay County Fairgrounds. And we're sticking 500-600 people in there, and then of course making our way to Rochester to meet up with the guys from the Eastern Belt that have stopped in Indianapolis, Bloomington, Iowa City on their way up to Rochester, and seeing huge crowds along the way. That crowd that has shown up year after year after year in Iowa City, it's like 700 people that Brian gets to talk to every year there in Iowa City. Well, we're not having those meetings, but we are having those meetings. It's just in a much different venue, all right? And it's the virtual venue. It's online. But that means that if you're in Georgia, hey, Billy, and you've always wanted to go to a crop tour meeting but haven't been able to do it, and we've never done them online before.
Well, give us an idea of what
to expect. We've not supplemented.
What sort of things do you talk about?
Well, what we talk about primarily are the results from that day. And it's real-time information delivered in a real-time analysis environment. And so I'll be working on the data all day long, along with Emily Carlin, my daughter, who's been working on the data and the data entry for the last three or four years for us. We've we've got a process. We've got a process that double checks and many times triple checks the data as it is coming in. And then we compile all that information at the end of the day. And we can say, listen, when we wrapped up in South Dakota, we had 50-some samples out of the Southeast Crop District in South Dakota, and the average yield was this compared to X last year. Does the sample size match up? Does the trend match up with what we expected? So we go through all of that. We deliver that information. We will hear from sponsors, but it's a different sponsor message. Pioneer is a premier sponsor of Crop Tour. And we hear from their agronomist on what crop conditions are like in the Grand Island area, in eastern Nebraska, in northwest Iowa. So it all gets catered. So what I'm saying is you're all invited to those evening meetings. Just go to profarmer.com, take a look there. You can find the registration for the Crop Tour meetings. Go to events. Or another way of doing it, and if you go to farmjournalfielddays.com, you can register for the Farm Journal Field Days. You can register for the Crop Tour meetings, and you can register for that benefit concert that is going to be held on August 27th. The other thing that we just learned about on August 27th, we are going to get a message from USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue. Should be good. We've got U.S. Senator Pat Roberts tomorrow morning.